Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Christ's joy, Christ's love, flowing through us by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? So Stuart and Jill got home, and they were convicted, and they began to think, and they said, Who among us, who can we think of? Because they started thinking of all the people they knew and related with ministerially, and they touched base and rubbed shoulders with the creme de la creme of ministry in these crusades and conferences all over America. The greatest gospel singers and the greatest gospel teachers and preachers they had worked with in their past. And yet they saw mighty anointings, great gifts, great personalities, but the thing that they were looking for in themselves and in others was Christ-likeness, His character. I mean, powerful anointings and Christ-likeness are two different things. How many know that? There can be a preacher with a powerful anointing be very rude outside the pulpit, unkind, uncaring. I've met them. I know I can become that way very easily. Just give in to my own emotions instead of bowing to His Lordship and letting Him live through me. It can come through you too. You can be ugly if you choose to. How many know you got the capacity? Thank you for the hearty amens. I'd hate to have to come back there. Hallelujah. Amen. But we've also got the capacity to be more like Him. And the fruit of the Spirit is His character developed in us. And in the wonderful honesty of Stuart and Jill Briscoe, they said a couple in their home church that had no particular ministry calling anointing, but they were so like Jesus. So none of the big names, because of the anointings and callings to preach or teach, fit the bill. David admitted, we are not measuring up. We're convicted while teaching on His character in us. But there's a couple that no one knows for any great feat, except when you're in their presence, you feel like you're in the sweetness, the kindness, and the love of Jesus consistently. That's spiritual maturity. Not fluent tongues, great utterances. Listen, if you don't have love, what does it become? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Noise without substance. It draws the attention when people speak in tongues or give utterances. And people look on that person and they say the Holy Spirit is flowing in that life. And if we walk outside that anointing to speak in tongues, and we use our tongue to speak critically or harshly, after that anointing lifts, we kill it. We kill the witness. We just kill it. Amen? And we lose our credibility. Christ-likeness is what the fivefold ministry is in the church to develop, till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you'll never arrive there? But we ought to be progressively moving in that direction. We should never just go to church, say, I'm good enough, sit down on the pew or the chair, and say, that message isn't for me. You know, I'm satisfied with me. We shouldn't do that. We should say, I am divinely dissatisfied with me, and I'll only be satisfied when I'm more like Him. Isn't it satisfying when you win one? Anybody here ever won one? One, two, three. Three people out of the audience has won one? Have you ever won one where you overcome the flesh and let Jesus rule? That's what I'm saying. That's a little better. I was getting worried. I thought, boy, it's worse than I thought. I thought it was bad, but it was even worse than bad. You've won one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it a good feeling when you win one? Amen. When you realize in a normal circumstance, I would have given them a piece of my mind. Instead of letting this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, I would have given them a piece of my mind. Aren't you glad on that day when you won one, you didn't give them your mind, but you let his mind rule in your heart and your life? Doesn't it feel exhilarating to defeat the devil by defeating the flesh? Amen. Doesn't it feel good? I'm looking at people here that once had the joy of the Lord. Some of you used to lay between the pews and talk in tongues after a service. Amen. And did you know when you got up, you had a sweet spirit about you? People, I mean, they couldn't help but notice that there was something sweet in you. Can't you say amen? Because you were broken before the Lord. You were melting in his presence. Amen. But some people get over that. They don't melt anymore. They don't get broken anymore. And by the way, being around you is not such a big deal anymore. You're a Christian because you go to church. You're a Christian because of your political views. You're a Christian because of your personal righteousness. But you're not a Christian because you're like Jesus. Can you say amen? And if you're not a Christian because you're like Jesus, it don't matter if you've got the right political views. It don't matter if you've got personal morals that are above reproach. Amen. No one's going to see Christ until they sense love. Say it with me. No one's going to see Christ until they sense love. Say it again. No one's going to see Christ until they sense love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not puffed up. It rejoices not in evil, but rejoices in good and truth. Can you say amen? It believes all things. Faith worketh by love. It bears all things. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Never fails and it never ends. So no wonder a church underdeveloped in love and overdeveloped in gifts is not going to flourish and touch anybody. Because tongues without love is sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Faith without love will be used for our own personal selfish desires. It won't be used to help anybody else. It'll be for my healing, my pleasure, my needs met. Not to help you know Christ or to help you stand strong. Love doesn't look at self primarily. Love looks out. And love finds its greatest fulfillment in reaching out to others. And if you're unfulfilled today, then you're not reaching other people. Your life is not touching anyone else. You're not ministering into anyone. And therefore, all that God inside of you is locked up and it is not flowing. You can't minister to somebody without being ministered to. It's a byproduct of out of your belly flowing rivers. That river flows out of you, you're going to be so blessed. Amen? But if you're always asking it to flow to you, the blessing can't come. Amen? You were filled with the Spirit so that you could pour out. Not continually ask for more. If you want to sense that flow, start pouring out to others. Can you say amen? Amen? All right. Having said that, if you'll let me break your heart again, I can make your heart again more like my heart. If you'll let me work in your character, I can change you and use you to reach other people. Not because of what you know, but because of who you know and who flows through you, saith the Lord. For I will let them sense me in you, and they will be drawn unto me. As it is written, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. And I was lifted up on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth to become the mediator. And I proved love on that cross. And my love is the most compelling thing in the universe. And fallen man can be touched by it. If I be lifted up in you, saith the Spirit of God. We're getting ready to receive an offering, but I want you to stand to your feet. I will move quickly in prayer, but I want us to pray. When did you become strong enough, good enough, loving enough, kind enough, giving enough to not bow before me in brokenness and ask me to change you? When did you arrive at the place of such maturity and knowledge that you could see all the faults in others, but quit bowing humbly and saying, Lord, work in me? If you will come back in childlike humility and ask for a work to be done, I, the Lord, will work a new work in you, a work of grace, a work of love. And thou shalt be unto me an instrument in my hand that I can use to touch other lives, if thou wilt bow humbly once again before thy master, and look neither to the right nor to the left, but say in thine own heart, it is I, Lord, that needs the work today. Work your work in me. I'm going to ask you a serious, sobering question. Do you want to be more like him? I know you can't do it and I can't do it, but do you have a desire for spiritual growth, real, honest to goodness, spiritual growth and maturity? When people around you, you're easy to be with, and they feel the closeness of Christ. See, you can't just give them scripture. You can't just point out their wrong. You've got to embrace them. You've got to love them as he loved them. And then we can go in the highway and into the hedge and compel people to come in. And the most compelling thing in all of Scripture is the love of God expressed in Jesus dying on the cross. Amen. Without that, with the greatest gifts of the Spirit at our disposal, we have become sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, noise without substance that touches no life. And our tongues will only edify us. It won't build up the body. Father, we want to grow from a foundation of love, and we want to grow in love and grace. We want to be able to manifest the one we speak of, the one that we talk of so lovingly and so dearly. We want Jesus to be seen in our lives today. And Lord, we humbly bow this morning our hearts before you, Lord, that this work might be done in us. And Father, we'll give you the praise for what you're seeding into us today. And everyone that wants this work to be done said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Would you receive the offering? We're going to move quickly in God's word this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an atmosphere when you walk in a church as this offering is received, and I can feel it and you can feel it. It'll be one of spiritual death or spiritual life. It'll be one of great love flowing or one of kind of indifference. I have been in churches that had a great program going on, but I knew that everyone was impervious to me entering that building. No one really cared. I feel like if we had a visitor here this morning, they would be embraced by people in this room. We'd be so glad to see them, and they would be so welcome. And I don't believe some of the people that have visited us and not come back, it wasn't because they were not embraced and welcomed, because we certainly make people feel welcome. When we were in the Holy Church of God, and I'm commending you this morning, when we were people come in off the street, it didn't matter what they smelled like. And some of them didn't smell too good, did they? It didn't matter what they were dressed like. I asked a man to put on a shirt one morning because he'd come in barefooted and no shirt on. And I went and got him a shirt because he was drawing attention to himself. And he said, God knows what I look like naked. And I said, well, I'm sure God does, but we don't, and we don't want to. So please honor him and put on this shirt. And he did wear the shirt. Amen. But we welcomed him. We welcomed him. Amen. If no one can say in the 25-year tenure in Sulphur Springs that they couldn't have walked in that church door in a pair of jeans and no shoes on and sat through a service and we would have embraced them. Amen. We welcome people with lice. Amen. And I prayed that it wouldn't get into the kids or any of us. And we welcome people. We welcome pimps and we welcome prostitutes. And I visited prostitutes that had visited our service with her pimp and visited her when she was in the hospital with a devastating disease and told her about the love of Christ for her. And we embraced people regardless of color or culture or financial background. I led people to the Lord that sat out on benches on Sunday morning. Two men that sat out on benches, amen, on Sunday morning for over 10 years. Every Sunday morning, they would start drinking at 10 a.m. Amen. They were both alcoholic and they sat on the same bench in front of the same two-story house they rented and they were drinking every day. These two buddies were out there drinking and I'd say, why don't you come to church? They say, preacher, the church would fall in if we came in there. And I said, we've reinforced the ceiling just for you guys. And they'd laugh. But outside they'd hear the singing. They'd hear the joy. Amen. They would hear, amen, a preacher preaching with some kind of conviction. Hello? Amen. We were known as a happy church. The Holy Church was a happy church. Can you say amen? And I led both of them to Christ before they died. Both of them came to the Lord. Hallelujah. They called me when they were dying and said, I want that Jesus that you're talking about. Incredible what the Lord did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And I've told you the story before of how both of them died of cancer and I led both of them to Christ within a year. They died within a year of each other and both of them are in heaven. Hallelujah. Because both of them really got saved. The one with throat cancer, amen, from smoking all his life and something happened in his throat. He pulled me down to him, amen, after I prayed the sinner's prayer with him. And he said, preacher, I love you. You know what that means? We know we pass from death to life because we what? Because we love the brethren. Come on, church. This is the single most exciting symbol, amen, that there is the love of God. How do you know you pass from death to life? The primary sign. There's a lot of secondary stuff like let him that steal, steal no more. And let him that drink, drink no more. And, amen. But the primary sign, we know we pass from death to life because we not only love Christ, we love the brethren. We love one another. We ought to go to church not just because it's Sunday, but because we want to be together. There ought to be some kind of bond between us. I said, Alice is going to be there, and I want to be there too. Ruth's going to be there, and I want to be there too. George is coming, and I love him, and I want to be where he is. Did you hear me? Glory to God. So what is it? What is it? What is it? Amen. Now this is the single most important sign that you really got saved is when you start loving one another in the body of Christ. Hello? Oh, but I go to church and I do right all the time. He said love proves it. The Pharisees did right in their eyes. Sadducees did that. But they passed by a man that had fell among thieves and didn't give him the time of day. They were too good to touch him and help him. There's a lot of people too good to touch and help anybody. Can you say amen? And that's called self-righteousness and God hates it. Amen? 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 But we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. 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 We don't just come in and stay in our little cubicle and walk out the door and go home and live in our own little world. We love the brethren. We bear one another's burdens to prove that love. We pray incessantly for one another to prove that love. Amen. What is it? The strong bear the infirmities of the weak. You know what that means? You put up with a weaker brother. That sometimes irritates you. Sometimes gets on your last nerve. I had two siblings. I got two siblings. A boy, I got a girl in heaven, but two siblings on the earth. I got, you know, Alan and Matthew. 9 years apart. And believe me, amen, they didn't relate. One day Matthew come in. He was red in the face, and you could tell he was mad because your brother had been aggravating him all day long. And he said, "Daddy, brother got on my last nerve." I'm going to tell you something. Some of your brothers and sisters can get on your last nerve. And what are the strong supposed to do? Bear the infirmities. That means to be tolerant, to be patient. The man of God must not strive, but be patient, instructing those that oppose themselves. Boy, when someone's blaming the devil for some foolishness they're doing, it just burns me up. I want to say, you're your own best. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Amen. Have you taken a good look at you? Amen. Maybe you could figure out why your joy is gone, your peace. Maybe it ain't the boss after all. Maybe it ain't your brother after all. Maybe it ain't your sister. Maybe it ain't your wife or your husband. Maybe it ain't your crazy kids. Maybe it's you. Could be. Could be you. Come on, it could be you. Any man that hears the word and does it not is what? He's like a man that's so self-deceived he looks at his natural face in a glass, which means a mirror. And he walks away and immediately forgets what manner of man he is. You know what hurts in church, the hard part of church? The word of God mirrors the true you. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It exposes the real me. And that's not always comfortable. Hello? Hello? God loves you, and He knows the real you. I think that's pretty incredible. God has hopes for the real you and me. If you'll admit the real you, if you have needs this morning, God wants you to open your heart again. Let Him work again. Become clay so that He can work again. Don't harden. The hardest people to preach to, people have been saved for years and set. You know what happens? The progress stops. The process stops. Amen? The character of Christ isn't developed. Our character is what everybody sees while we're talking about Him. Hello? And He wants to change that. Has to change. I mean, no, God has confidence in us. Amen. When did we arrive? When did we get to the place where we felt like, I don't need the altar? When did we get there? When did we get there to where we're never broken? When did we get to where we ever have a tear in our eye for our own need? Where did we get to where we could walk in here and walk out of here and not even stop to care, is that person hurting? Well, when I first got saved, I was embraced in love. Church I went to, there were people that were sensitive to what was going on in my life without me even telling them. They were interested in me. I lost my job because I quit it in order to be in church on Sunday. And my trials began. And they were tough. We sold everything that wasn't nailed down to pay our rent and eat. We sold everything. We sold our color television that we just bought with a service contract on it. First big item we'd ever owned in our life, and we still owed on it, but we sold it. And a guy saw our condition, took advantage of us, and he offered us less than it was worth, and we let it go because we were hungry. Amen. I was working part-time at a gas station so I could be in church on Sunday, and I was wondering, how's it all going to turn out? And I'm putting the kingdom first, but I feel so alone out here. And I went to church one Sunday morning, and a lady came to me, a lady and her son. I remember Sister Royster and her son, dedicated Christians. She said, "I got to tell you something, Brother Robert. Last night, God put you on my heart." And I got up in the middle of the night and I went into the living room to pray for you. And when I got in the living room, my son was at the couch on his knees praying. And I said, son, what are you doing here? He said, God put Brother Robert on my heart. Said he's going through something. And I came in here to pray for him. So she said, I got down beside my son and we began to pray for you. Don't know what's going on in your life. Don't know what you're facing, but we do know this. God got us out of bed in the middle of the night and told us to pray for you. You know what that did for me? That wrapped big old arms around me. Caressed me in the bosom of Jesus. Let me know that I was not in church, amen, on my own. But there were people that God could talk to about me and people that were not just so into themselves that they couldn't care about me. Woo! I thought, man, I can't wait to get back to church. Because there's a safe place. Here's a place where I'm going to be caressed. Because there are people there that are interested in my life and my need. The strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. I could have been crushed in my early stages of my Christian experience had it not been for people that come alongside, pour me up. We went to preach in Haiti, in Pion, Haiti. Everybody, it seemed, had a ministry. Except this one lady who's approaching 80 from Canada. We all begin to wonder because she was having a real problem with the heat. She seemed to be having a problem, you know, just bearing up on an 8-hour ride in the heat with no air conditioning and in real humid conditions. When we got to the meeting and thousands of people came to hear the gospel, we had the singers there. They had a singing ministry. Prayer warriors were praying. Preachers were preaching. Teachers were teaching. And we all wondered, what's her ministry? Because she claimed no ministry of preaching, teaching, singing. Didn't cast out devils or do spiritual warfare. Then we saw it. Standing on the platform, preaching Jesus, calling people to come to Him. Here comes this little lady. And she'd go up to some woman with tears in her eyes, embrace her, hold her head down next to hers, and pray with her. Walk over to an old man bent over with arthritis and take him in her arms and put his head up to her neck and pray with him. And we saw her ministry. And we said, we are preaching Christ. She is ministering Jesus. You didn't hear me this morning. We are preaching Jesus under a mighty anointing. She's living Jesus in the love of God. She's taking that sick person to her bosom and comforting him. And I thought, that's why she's here. Somebody got to walk it out. People got to do more than hear about Jesus. They got to sense him. They got to see him. Can you say, Matt? And I thought, oh God, we're preaching Jesus. She's ministering Jesus to the people. I heard the testimony of, see, if you're not developed in the love of God, none of that's going to happen. John, none of that's going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You're going to be Mr. or Miss Isolation. Nobody's going to sense him. Nobody's going to sense him. Oh, go ye in the highway and hedge. We think of that as just getting our Roman road down, our witness down. We think that's going to do it if we've got a good tract here. Bible said you're living epistles. You are a living tract. Amen? And you are read. Come on, people can read you, darling. People can read me. Question is, what are they reading? But they can read you. They can read you real or false. They can read you kind or unkind. I've been unkind. How many have been unkind? I don't like to be. But I have failed to live up to the standard. But I want to grow. I want to be more like my master. I feel bad when I fail to be what I know He is. Do you feel anything, a twinge? Do you feel something? God don't want you put down. He wants you to acknowledge the need today to grow. Amen. A church that's satisfied will not grow in spiritually and will not grow in number. You know what happened when the Word began to grow in the early church? The Bible said the Word began to dwell in them richly. It began to grow and they grew and multiplied. Because if the Word grows in you, then the character of Christ is going to grow in you. And if that change doesn't come, your family's going to see a you that isn't Christ-like. I don't want to be able to just tell my son the right things. I like to show him the right thing. I want my heart to stay soft. It's going to get hurt. It's going to get broken. It's going to get trumped on. But I don't want to become hard. I don't want to get this religious brand of love that looks somebody in the eye and say, I love you, when inside I really don't care about you. You see your brother and sister destitute and in need, and you say to them, go your way. Be warm. Be filled. That's the correct saying. Notwithstanding, you don't give them what they have need of. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's how we treat people, not what we say to them, that communicates the love of God. And the world is waiting for someone to embrace them like Jesus did. Hello? Some of your loved ones may actually want to know Jesus if you would learn to love them like He loves them. Some of mine. When I first got saved, I turned my loved ones and family off. I didn't embrace them and love them. I just told them how lost they were and how they needed to get saved or go to hell. I was 100% correct, but I didn't win anybody to Jesus. Nobody to Jesus. I want to be Christ-like. I want somebody to see Jesus in me. I want His fragrance. The Bible said wherever the disciples went, listen to this, the fragrance of Him went with them. Amen. They were under pressure, and yet the way they stood up under it, amen, the fragrance of Him went into every place as a result of their trials. Everybody say the fragrance of Him. That means the essence of Christ was evident in their life. No matter what they were facing, it came through. Paul was stoned and left for dead, and he prayed for his enemies. Went on and preached somewhere else the fragrance of Jesus. Isn't that incredible? The fragrance of Jesus went everywhere they did. No wonder their witness was so effective. Because they sensed His essence. At Antioch, they looked at that new movement, and for the first time, they gave them a label. At Antioch, they said, those people are Christian. It's not something the church named themselves. It's something the world that viewed the church named it. Woo! Wow! Isn't it great when someone else recognizes Christ in your life? Not because you're part of a denomination, not because you just go to church, but because of your character that's being altered and changed. Wow! Used to go to the Power Shop gym in Plant City. And I never wore a suit to the gym. I didn't even wear praying hands on my sweatshirt. Tennis shoes, sweatpants, cut off sweatshirt. There's a picture of me and the power team in there. Still hanging on the wall, I reckon. The power team was these big guys that witnessed by blowing up hot water bottles and bursting them and lifting and bench pressing Buicks. They're huge men. They love Jesus and they get young people's attention because of their masculinity and muscles, and then they tell them about being real men and following the Lord. Well, they worked out in that gym when they were in the area, amen, appearing and witnessing, and I stood with them for a photograph. Oh, my goodness, I wish I hadn't stood by those guys. That was back when I was a gym rat, and I had my best pose on. And they had muscles where I didn't have places. But I like what the owner of the gym said, Miss Mays, to my wife. Because I knew it was working then. I pray it's working now. Said, not many people in this gym know that your husband is a minister of the gospel, a man of the cloth. They just think he's a good Christian man. That's when we win. I'd rather be a good Christian man than the great preacher man. Because a good Christian man can touch lives and minister Jesus. I like it when someone else says that. Not that he's self-righteous, judgmental, sitting up and looking down at it, but he's a good Christian man. I've seen people carry their Bibles boldly at work, criticize every tune, everybody, everything everybody else is doing, not win one person to Jesus. I don't condone wrong, but I'm not there to condemn the world. Christ didn't come into the world to what? Point his finger and point out their sin. Did you hear me? He didn't come to condemn it. What did he come to do, church? To seek and to save. He said, I know you're a sinner. Amen. You know you're a sinner. The real issue here is, do you want to be free from that sin? Do you want eternal life? Do you want me to change you from the inside out? How many know he's in the life-changing business? Hallelujah. Oh, could God work more in me? Is there room for more Jesus in me? By this shall all men know that you are my true followers or disciples, if you have love one for another. One to another, literally. It speaks volumes to the world about whether we're really Christian or we're just Christian in name. Hello? By what? By this. How we treat each other is either going to bear witness that we're truly His or we're not truly His. We're phony. And we're read by all men. They're reading us, church. They're reading me on the job. They're reading you. Your lapel pin, your bumper sticker, your big Bible in public won't cut it unless some of His fragrance comes through. Hello? Hello? How many know that? How many's ever seen a phony? Ever seen one? Anybody here seen a phony? In your whole Christian life, someone that claimed something, there was no fruit at all? Hello? No fruit at all? I don't preach those people in heaven when they die because they attended church all their life. There has to be some evidence. I like the old song that said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, there would be enough evidence to convict you. I hope there would be. I hope there would be somebody to say, yeah, I saw how he reacted to that situation. I saw how he did this. I saw him under pressure. I saw him follow Jesus instead of the flesh. Christ instead of the world. Can you say amen? People feel that. They feel that when it's in you. They sense it. Amen. You don't have to tell them. You're like a city set on a hill. You don't have to advertise. You can't miss it. Hello? Woo! If you're having to convince someone you're a Christian, it's not working for you. They should recognize. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Boy, I feel good where I'm loved. I was going through nervous exhaustion. I went to a church that wasn't big on tongues and gifts. Let me tell you what they were big on. I heard a surgeon, spirit-filled surgeon, speak that day, and he spoke things that I'd heard 100 times. I sit out there hurting with a need in my life. He diagnosed me with nervous exhaustion, and his associate, and said that everything in my body, all the vital organs, was in danger of shutting down like a fuse box. stress carried over years had broken me. I sat there in brokenness. At the end of the service, he said, I want to pray for this gentleman today. And he came up and he put his hand on my chest and he began to pray for my heart and for my healing. And as he prayed for me, I felt a sense of the anointing. The anointing is powerful, can heal you like that. But I needed a healing beyond just a physical thing. Because I went through a lot of hurts and layered things in my life. And here came these people, and everyone in here was on a weekday. It was at midday. These were not working people. These were older, retired people. Most of them had the silver hair. Men and women began to come and gather around me. And a man I didn't know came behind me, put his arms around me. Now, the man of God that had preached and prayed such a powerful prayer, the anointed had already touched me. But I'm going to tell you when I felt Jesus. It's when that man came up behind me, put his arms around me, pulled me to his bosom, and began to pray. Lord Jesus, bless this man. I don't know what his needs are, Lord, but you do. And I know that you love him. And when he said, I know you love him, he gripped me. And I was in the grip of God's love. Hallelujah. Some precious lady came around front, took me by the hand. She just held my hand, began to rub my hand and said, Lord, bless this man. Bless this man. Lord, I know that you love us all and you'll never leave us. She began to stroke my hand. And I felt like Jesus was holding my hand. Jesus was holding me. I just wanted to stay right there. I want you to know it wasn't the man of God that had written the books, amen, with the powerful anointing that began to give me what I needed most desperately. It was those nameless people that gathered around me and embraced me on Sunday, on that Monday afternoon. Oh, I felt like somehow, some way, I'm going to get through this because the love of God bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. He don't even have to heal me today for me to make it. Just let me know that you love me like this, and I can make it. Do you understand how important that is? Wow. Somebody prays for you, whisk away in a limousine. Thank God for the person who stays with you and embraces you. Woo! Altar services are not all bad when someone comes along beside you. I know we make jokes, you know, hold on, brother, turn loose, brother. But sometimes it's so good to feel somebody by your side. Hallelujah. Ministering Jesus to you. Ministering Jesus to you. Amen. How long has it been since God told you to walk across an aisle? Embrace someone and say, I don't know what your need is, but I love you. And God has put you on my heart. So you've got to get beyond yourself to do that. And your selfishness. And look at others with compassion and caring. Compassion marked Jesus' life and ministry. When he saw them bringing the halt and the blind and the sick, my Bible said he was moved with compassion and healed them. Come on, he was moved with compassion and healed them. When he saw people that were lost, the same thing happened. He stood and looked down upon the city and he saw men as sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved again with compassion, and he groaned, said, pray the Father that he would send laborers into the field, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And you know why the laborers are few, and people don't catch the vision? Because the lack of compassion on the lost and dying. Did you tell them about Carol's husband preaching in Maine this morning? 80 men showed up in Maine. And he said all he's talking about is salvation. God is moving where hearts are hungry, where someone has compassion on the lost and wants to tell them the story of Jesus more than they want anything in their life. I think that's so incredible. Because he just didn't seem like the preacher type. And listen, if you start ministering Jesus, you don't have to be the preacher type. Well, what if I don't know the scripture? Just love somebody with the love of the Lord. You don't have to know the scripture. If you know all the scripture and you can't love like that, nobody's going to listen anyway. You're going to tell them everything you know, but you can't show them who you know. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. If I develop my faith until I can move mountains, I'll only move mountains that are for my good. Come on. No one's going to see Jesus because I got a new Escalade. But Alice, if I lay hands on you with a broken heart and pray that God heal you and would rather see you healed than have a new vehicle, Jesus is going to flow through me to you, Alice. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. We're actually grooming people today to seek more for themselves and to seek to be selfless and follow Him. And that gospel has caused a church to become uncaring about each other. And you can sit with a broken heart in an audience and there's no one sensitive enough to the Spirit to walk over and hug you. So you're alone in a crowd. You ever go to a meeting where there's a gift flowing? Everybody's pushing and shoving to get in line to get theirs. Hello? And if you're in the back of the line, tough. I had a need that was so deep and desperate, and God kept showing His love. The only thing brought me through was the love of God. Nothing else could do it. None of the power gifts brought me through this. Only the love of God brought me through it. You've had power gifts. What did it do? What did it do? Are you stable? Are you totally committed, full of revival? Been slain in the Spirit, spoken other tongues, had hands laid on you, prophesied over? Amen. Without Christ's likeness? Amen. The old flesh is going to keep winning battle after battle. How many know that? Battle after battle after battle after battle. No power gift can take the place of Christ in you. Say amen to that. You know people that have prophesied and failed. You know people that have preached and went under. You know people that have been slain in the Spirit and shipwrecked in life. How many know we got to have more than power? This person has to stand up inside of us. It's Christ in you. That is the very hope of glory. Amen? And the Holy Spirit come to manifest Him. My wife and I were both sick when we went to Atlanta to the Omni. I wanted to get where there was preaching and powerful gifts, continuing to look for deliverance. Again, God showed me His love for me personally. I got in a traffic jam on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta that you would not believe. Maybe you would believe it if you've been to Atlanta. I mean, you get off the interstate, get downtown. And the devil told me, why don't you just give up and go home? God hasn't opened the door for you to be in that service. You can't get there. You know, God, all the while that I was suffering things, saying, God don't love you, God don't love you, God don't love you, God don't love you, God don't care, God don't love you. And me fighting that. I thought, you know, I'm going to this meeting. If I get there for the very end of it, I'm going. You know, at some point in your life, you got to fight discouragement by being determined, by just pure old bulldog determination. You get up on Sunday morning, you don't feel like coming? Come anyway. Come on. Come anyway. Have you ever come and said, Dear Lord, I wish I'd laid there and slept and not went to church? Never. Come on, be honest. No, you haven't. You were glad you came when you came. And if you came every Sunday, you'd be glad every Sunday. Amen. Well, I just don't want to be no hypocrite. I just ain't got no faith and I don't want to go be no... Don't be a... Being a hypocrite is staying home when you know you ought to be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on to church. Amen. I've seen you down. I can handle it. God's seen you down. He can handle it. In fact, me and God both together might be able to help you get lifted up before you leave. So come on. Get determined. Determination goes a long way with God. Hallelujah. If you have to pull the roof off the house to get in, pull it off. You're the one that He's going to heal. Woo! I went through that traffic jam.